46 degrees in downtown Denver. Good afternoon, Colorado. Spectacular day up and down the Front Range on this Monday, October 30th, 2023. We begin our final week together. Glad that you are with us. 46 in downtown, 58 degrees right now in Grover's Mill, New Jersey. Some of you may get it. Maybe? Anybody out there? Is this thing on? We'll have much more 24 hours from now from Grover's Mill, New Jersey, and the Mercury Theater. Some of you may. If you don't have any clue what I'm talking about, all the better. It's going to be a great week of radio excellence as I wrap up nearly a 34-year career. Let's see how we can screw this up in the next 15 hours or so, because that's what we've got left. 3 hours today live, tomorrow, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and then it's see you later. No, you will not hear me like, 2 p.m. to 4:45 p.m. every other Saturday on this radio station. Sadly, it's over. Speaking of Grover's Mill, we have a look back at some point 85 years ago today. To me, one of the greatest radio broadcasts, stunts, masterpieces ever. And I find it sweet that later on in the 6 o'clock hour, one of our greatest guests of all time after nearly 6 years together. So I'm going to start from the 6 o'clock hour, work our way back to it was 85 years ago today. So 6 o'clock hour, our musicologist, our music expert, Vinny Marino, one more time. I guess this would be kind of his encore, or maybe his like coming out four or five times after, standing ovations. He's one of my favorite guests, my former colleague at ABC News, music expert. And if you've been with us as part of the radio club, usually we have him on when somebody has died musically. So Vinny got ahead of myself, Jim. Vinny at about 6:05. Then in the 5 o'clock hour, it is Jimmy. It is our final installment on the farewell tour of Ask Jimmy's Harmonica. Jimmy Sangenberger, who has already texted me today that he has a little bit of Tay Anderson news.
DPS, slaving up an EPS.
I'm just chilling at the crib and making policy. They say they want some drastic changes,
hey,
but all I see
ho,
is folks
hey,
not helping
ho,
all our kids when
she's
they
a fly girl.
And somehow
hey,
I get
ho,
all the blame and that's
ho,
what bothers
ho.
Me.
There he is.
150K on they could have focused on some other stuff and not on budget broke from all the illness. You may be missing,
I don't know. We got to bring that back. Probably. Just a little. Well, we will. Jimmy's Harmonica appears with its blower. Jimmy Sangenberger coming up at 5:30. At the bottom of this hour, as the farewell tour continues, one of our friends of the program, and he is going to be in our upcoming fentanyl documentary. The 4th Judicial District has one of Colorado's best. District Attorney Michael Allen will join us. He has dealt with fentanyl. He has dealt with Club Q. He has dealt with a lot in his law career as the district attorney, and he is up for re-election. He joins us coming up at the bottom of the hour. Stephen Tubbs, Jim Nichols, Lori Kelman in the newsroom. Final week of programming, 303-696-1971, 303-696-1971. Text to the studio via the free-to-download app. Of course, commercial break-free podcast. Jim puts up every hour of every show we do without commercials at 710knus.com, wherever you get podcasts, or, of course, the free-to-download app. Love getting those texts to the studio. We are on social media at Tubbs Show, T-U-B-B-S Show, Facebook and Twitter X. And welcome if you are listening live stream anywhere on the planet via the free to download podcasts that are live stream, I should say, via the app or the website. Before we get into it was 85 years ago today, I want to play for you a couple of things that have been released since we last spoke on Friday. It, of course, has to do with Denver in Decay. Do you remember over the course of the last few weeks? Maybe you do, maybe you don't. There was a shooting at 46th and York involving officers and somebody, at cop speak, wielding a weapon, a firearm. And then there was another at the freaking Whole Foods on WeWada. Both of these are available on, in fact, I put them out on social media, I think, on Saturday at our Twitter account, at Denver Decay or at Decay Denver or Top Show. You can find them. But I mean to tell you, 13-inch long blade from dude inside the Whole Foods. But let's start at 46th and York, where cops are trying. They're trying to get this guy to put down a weapon.
Drop it now!
Drop it! Come on, bro, it's not worth it! Just drop it!
Drop it with it!
How can we help you?
Find out we're gonna shoot you.
I asked you that!
Drop it!
How can we help you? What do you need?
Drop the gun!
Fucking
drop the gun!
Shots fired.
Hand that to the side. Let me get
your hands inside. Hands inside.
I got
the hands inside.
I got fucking need to go.
God damn it.
Don't cuff him up. Don't cuff him up. He's got a tourniquet on.
There you go. So it's now up to Cragatha McCann's office to determine whether or not that police shooting at 46th and York earlier this month was, in fact, justified. They were, as you heard at the top, they were yelling at the man, drop the weapon, or, you know, comply. And then he made a move. And I think there were 8 shots. Oh, that guy survived. The next is inside a Whole Paycheck. I mean, Whole Foods. So at a Whole Foods down right across from, well, not too far from Coors Field on WeWada. Inside the store, like the deli counter and frozen goods. Whole bunch of officers
Remember
around.
It's going to get crowded. We don't need it to be like this.
Guys walking around.
Knife right where you're at.
Huge knife.
Hey, sir. Let's go connect, please. Let's talk. Let's have a conversation. You talk to you guys at all? My friend.
Stop fighting.
Calm down. Back over this behind us.
So you say you want to be a cop. Oh, that guy survived as well. And Cragatha McCann's office will determine if that was a justified shooting. See, if it's not a justified shooting, then somebody who gets shot, you've heard of suicide by cop. If they get shot, hell, in this city, Denver and Decay, you have now been awarded $4.7 million. Sorry for your gunshot wound. Give these men and women respect, please. How about to the criminals, the bad guys, the bad gals? How about, even though this is like talking to a brick wall in the middle of nowhere on a dark and stormy night, how about cooperate with the law? Just a thought. 303-696-1971. Over the weekend, you have probably heard by now.
Rachel and I hired a male nanny.
You got a man who's a nanny? You got a manny?
Matthew Perry played the wisecracking Chandler Bing on Friends for its entire 10-season run, a role that shot him to fame at 24 years old.
Could I be more sorry?
30 years later, his sudden death came as a shock. 54-year-old Perry was found unresponsive Saturday in a jacuzzi at his Los Angeles home.
No foul play is suspected in the sudden death of beloved actor Matthew Perry, according to detectives.
Pager 23, Rescue 23, EMS 9 on radio. Respond to the drowning.
He was found dead at his Los Angeles area home Saturday of an apparent drowning. Police set up a white tent in the backyard of the home next to a pool.
He was very nice. He had redone this house for like a couple of years, you know. And he was finally moving in.
Cristian Benavides, CBS News.
I'm telling you, Matthew Perry, it was, remember, what was it, Thursday nights, it was Friends and Seinfeld, or Seinfeld and Friends and ER. It was must-see TV in the late 1990s NBC. When I heard about this, I've got to say, immediately I thought, I wonder if it was fentanyl. The reports from Los Angeles over the last 48 hours or so, no signs of foul play, no signs of drugs were found. This guy just 54 years old and most certainly battled his demons. Very, very sad. Rest in peace. We'll have more if there's information that comes out on the death of actor, comedian Matthew Perry throughout the rest of this week. Before we get to the break, I want to switch gears. 30 Strike that. 80. I'm counting down the hours. 13 more. 85 years ago today.
The Columbia Broadcasting System and its affiliated stations present Orson Welles and the Mercury Theater on the air in The War of the Worlds by H.G. Wells. Ladies and gentlemen, the director of the Mercury Theater and star of these broadcasts, Orson Welles.
We know now that in the early years of the 20th century, this world was being watched closely by intelligences greater than man's, and yet as mortal as his own. We know now that as human beings busied themselves about their various concerns, they were scrutinized and studied. Perhaps almost as narrowly as a man with a microscope might scrutinize the transient creatures that swarm and multiply in a drop of water. With infinite complacence, people went to and fro over the earth about their little affairs, serene in the assurance of their dominion over this small, spinning fragment of solar driftwood, which by chance or design, man has inherited out of the dark mystery of time and space. Yet across an immense ethereal gulf, minds that are to our minds as ours are to the beasts in the jungle, intellects vast, cool, and unsympathetic, regarded this earth with envious eyes and slowly and surely drew their plans against us.
Hey, I think that was 23-year-old Orson Welles describing what it was like his very first visit to Denver and Decay. I could be wrong. 85 years ago, the Columbia Broadcasting System via the Mercury Theater. 23 years old, Orson Welles. 23. And on October 30th, 1938, one of the greatest ever on what has been described this October 30th any night. I don't quite call it the second one, especially. Some have called it the Mischief Night or Night of Mischief. Others have called it Devil's Night. I don't call it that. Or how about Hellish Night, the night before Halloween? Jim, let's take one phone call before we take a break. Our guest and friend as part of the farewell tour, District Attorney Michael Allen, coming up here at the bottom of the hour. Let's get to Grover's Mill, New Jersey. And our friend Dwayne joins us. Hello, Dwayne.
Well, Chief, it's going to be different with you, but I'm glad you're going to go off and go do other things.
Is it true you're in Grover's Mill right now?
Oh, I only wish that I was in Grover's Mill. We were at 5 degrees below zero at 6 o'clock this morning.
In Divide? In Divide. In Grover's Mill, but Divide, Colorado, USA, yeah. You were 5 below?
5 below zero. Walked out, put the key in the ignition, and I was like, my agnostic self was going, please, God, I've got to get the kid to the bus stop.
But forget you.
Another minute with him here.
Forget you. How about the poor kid at the bus stop or kids?
Well, just mine, and I had to run him up.
Good Lord.
But I tapped the key, and she fired right up. Little Subaru with 497,814 miles. Fired right on up and looked at me and went, yeah, by the way,
yeah,
I can get you into town and back too, unlike everybody else. But
did you guys get a lot of snow? Did you hold on? Did you get a lot of snow?
4 inches. You guys got the brunt.
Oh my goodness! I got almost 10 at my house.
Well,
yeah,
I understand your girlfriend would have settled for 6, but
wow, this is just off the rails already. Okay, go ahead, Matthew Perry.
Matthew Perry, 55 surgeries, perforated colon.
Yep.
He knew he wasn't going to last long. Plus, he sold all his property in the last 18 months to save down to his property that he was in.
Hmm.
And if you look up anything, congestive heart failure and other items, jacuzzis are a great way to go out without any issues.
Oh, man. I hear what you're saying. Of course, that's speculation, but it wouldn't surprise me.
I mean, it is one of those things that once you see it, it's like, oh, so that's why you don't want to get in a jacuzzi with a weak heart.
Ugh.
Besides the fact the hooker sitting there with fentanyl on her lips.
Stop.
But anyway, I travel. Look.
All right. Love you.
Whatever you do.
Yes.
Whatever you do, please remember everything. And you have shown it in your years when you ran to Oklahoma on Devil Radio.
Yep.
You did the one thing that very few people do. And it's something I encourage. When you see an opportunity, jump. And man, I wish that you have many nets in your future.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate it, Dwayne. Yeah, it's going to be, I got to tell you, it's going to be this kind of week. Because the one call a week rule is still going to apply. And so, yeah, it's kind of, Dwayne from Divide has been a long time caller to this program for the past nearly 6 years. And it's going to be like that, where I say goodbye. Please know that because of timing or what have you, we still got to play the commercials. I know, damn commercials. But for those of you, especially the frequent callers, please know that I may try to avoid emotion with you by just thanking you. Because this is going to be an emotional week. And I'm glad you're with us. 303-696-1971. We'll take a timeout. When we come back, the farewell tour will continue, as I want to thank one of the great district attorneys in this state, Michael Allen from Colorado's 4th Judicial District. We are off and running. Let's just go to the break with War of the Worlds. Why not?
The Columbia Broadcasting System and its affiliated stations present Orson Welles and the Mercury Theater on the air in The War of the Worlds by H.G. Wells.
All right. What is your guess? The queen of San Francisco's psychedelic music? Jefferson Airplane? Starship? Jefferson Starship? Grace Slick, would you believe, is 84 years old today. 84. It's good stuff. It's a great career. And the things that woman has seen. So our Music Monday will continue up until just before 7 o'clock with a potpourri. Coming up in about an hour, I believe, we've got another song from a dude that is celebrating a birthday today. You can get to one of your 8 Colorado local Black Eyed Pea locations. If it's your birthday, please let them know. They will treat you special. But you know what? It doesn't have to be your birthday or anniversary. For lunch or dinner, certain locations, even on the weekends for breakfast, locally owned by Mom and Pop Steve and Michelle, the Black Eyed Pea of Colorado. If it has been a while, would you take my advice finally, as we are in just the final week of the program? Everything is made from scratch. It doesn't come out of a can or something that's frozen. Roasted turkey breast dinner, grilled salmon, chicken fried steak, meatloaf, pot roast. It doesn't matter what you get there. You are going to love it. More than 30 side dishes, homemade soups, great salads, and, of course, delicious burgers as well. Yes, they've got a children's menu. Daily senior and first responder deals for you. I should say senior military first responder discounts and daily specials. Save room for dessert, whether it's the banana pudding, the chocolate cake, the mile high one 1-pound carrot cake as well. Let them do the cooking for you. I love everything about this restaurant. You will as well. Keep it here in Colorado. Visit the Black Eyed Pea. They're also hiring at all locations, looking for great friendly servers in all kinds of different positions. BlackEyedPeaColorado.com. That's BlackEyedPeaColorado.com. Midway through the 4 o'clock hour on this, our final Monday together already. Alexa, thank you for the text that came in. And I quote, down to the last 15 hours, parentheses, a.k.a. about 10 and a half hours of actual airtime. Thank you. It's going to be a tough week. I hope you stick with us. If you've, say, been sick and tired of hearing that, you only have, after today, four more programs. I want to welcome on, because that has, over the last couple of months, has signified our farewell tour and those that I want to bring on and say thank you. One of those is our next guest. He is from the 4th Judicial District in the great state of Colorado, District Attorney Michael Allen. I am so appreciative of you, appreciative of your time, and I'm so appreciative that we've had you on over the years as part of the program. Thank you, sir, from the bottom of my heart.
Well, Stefan, first of all, thank you for having me on. But unfortunately, I've got bad news for you.
Oh,
I've got some
no.
investigators heading up to your office. They're going to arrest you and handcuff you to your chair. Your show will continue beyond the end of this week.
Ah, that's very funny. No, it won't. I will become, you know what? I will become like Kiana Rosenberg here in Denver. I liken her to Madam X. She's actually, by the way, sidebar, Madam X is going to appear in a Denver courtroom for the first time tomorrow. She, of course, accused of shooting 5 people because at 17, they wouldn't let her in with her fake ID. Okay, end of sidebar. So you, I want to let everybody know, within the last couple of weeks, you not only agree, but you take the time and you let us totally rearrange your conference room in Colorado Springs completely to be a part of our documentary film next spring, release May of 24, called Devastated. Why was that important for you to do it? Because God knows you're a busy man.
Well, you know, I think it's really important to note that I really appreciate the dedication you've had to this issue. The reason why it was important to me is what fentanyl has done to our community, our state. I'm a native of Colorado. I know you're from San Diego, which yeah. is another place I love, but I've grown up here. Colorado has changed dramatically, and the devastation that fentanyl had on our state has been beyond something I could have ever imagined. And getting the word out, making sure that people understand just how, you know, devastating this has been to our kids, to our communities, and I thank you for being a voice on this front.
Well, likewise, and you know, there are two cases in your area that I will forever remember. Could you just, for those people, again, District Attorney Michael Allen, with his office in Colorado Springs and the DA of the 4th Judicial, he is up for re-election. Please vote for this man again. Please keep him in office. Start with the high school story, Michael, just kind of an overview on a lot of people
yeah.
here in the metro area remember hearing a story about a student at a high school in the Colorado Springs area. What happened there?
Yeah, so I think it's important to set the stage first and foremost with what the status of the law was when this case happened. And this was before we had the Fentanyl Accountability and Prevention Act, so we didn't have a good mechanism in the Colorado statute to really go after dealers who were spreading this poison and killing people. And so that's sort of the backdrop. And then we have kids that are being introduced to fentanyl. They're trying to get other drugs like oxy or other things like that. And the cartel is mixing fentanyl in with these fake oxy pills and distributing them into the community. And that's what happened with these kids at Mitchell High School. 3 high school kids went to a local shopping center parking lot, met up with a dealer, got some pills, just 3 pills. One of the kids took about half of that pill and at the school in the bathroom, and then went back to her desk and then essentially died at her desk at Mitchell High School from fentanyl. First big, devastating, very public death that I can think of mm-hmm. occurring down here in the 4th Judicial District. But you've really connected with other victims around the state. This is not unique. As fentanyl spread. Cartels took advantage of the lax laws that we have in place here. We started hearing other stories about fentanyl and what it was doing to our kids and to other people that we love and care about who are struggling with potentially addiction or maybe just even experimenting with drugs.
Yeah. And then there was the story of Matt and his two sons, Matt Riviere and two sons, one night.
Yeah.
What can you say about that case?
Well, I'm really glad that you were able to connect with Matt. He is a very special person. I've gotten to know him since the tragedy struck his family. And, you know, that's the bittersweet nature of the work that I do is that I meet people in some really bad places in their lives. But then you realize how special they are just besides the tragedy that struck. And that's Matt to a T. He lost both of his kids to fentanyl. They were roommates living in an apartment and they just died. You know, nobody knew that they were taking something that was potentially laced with fentanyl. This is, again, still before the Fentanyl Accountability and Prevention Act was passed. So there's not good avenues under murder statutes to go after these types of cases. And that's the sadness about this, too, is that we can't necessarily hold those dealers accountable for the death unless you take it to the federal level. But Matt has then carried on the mantle of his kids. He's carried on their memory. He's made it a mission in his life to be a voice on fentanyl. And he's doing amazing things on behalf of
really
the people
is.
Of the state.
Yeah. Yeah. He really is. He's going to be in our documentary film as well. Thanks to you. Again, District Attorney from the 4th Judicial, District Attorney Michael Allen. You know, you have talked with us in the worst of times. I would say one of the worst that I can remember is, you know, the aftermath of Club Q. Take me through where do you first hear about the Club Q massacre?
It was early morning hours of November 20th, basically. So the shooting occurred at Club Q late on November 19th. It was maybe 2 or 3 minutes before midnight on November 19th. And then I get a call somewhere around 2 or 3 in the morning from the police chief and from other people letting me know what had happened. And then we became part of that response. I responded out. My assistant DA responded out. A chief DA responded out, and then we had several investigators go out as well to just assist with the investigation. But what first struck my mind when hearing about it is that not around the holidays again. Yeah. We've had other big shootings down here right around Thanksgiving. We had Planned Parenthood on Black Friday several years back. That case was still pending. And, you know, obviously in the state of Colorado, we've had too many, way more than our fair share of these devastating, tragic shooting events. And I was just thinking, well, not again, not my community. And then what do we need to do to respond to this thing? And the way that our collaboration and working relationships with our local and federal partners really came into tight focus. We had really good relationships with all of them from previous cases, and it took that kind of collaboration and relationship building in the past to make it what I still will say was the most effective investigation and prosecution effort that I'll probably ever be involved with. To get the result that we did within 6 months of that shooting was a service to the victims and really was a testament to the level of investigation and prosecution acumen and approach that we brought to the table that allowed us to get to the end of that thing as quickly as we did. But wow, just a gut-wrenching thing to happen in the community and something that I don't want to see again, but in all likelihood we will.
Right there is what sickens me about, you know, our fellow man is, you know, you look last week and the massacre in of all states, right? In of all states, yeah. Maine. And, you know, there's a 48 hour plus manhunt. And as I've said all along, Michael, on this program, and I'm not a genius. I mean, it's just the fact that, you know, the nation's next mass shooting now is it's just a countdown to that one. Again, District Attorney Michael Allen, you know, do you feel that it's the right, I don't want to put you in a corner, but, you know, Club Q is going to reopen at a hotel in Colorado Springs. Is that the right thing, do you think?
I think that's up to the club owners and the affected victim representatives. You know, there are people that suffered devastating injuries that are still with us, thankfully, today.
Yeah.
That have a voice in that conversation. I think it'd be wrong for me to voice what my position should be. I just will be supportive of the owners and of those victims going forward, and will weigh in if they ask me to. But I think whatever they come up with that's appropriate and is respectful to what happened on November 19th of last year, I think is the right answer.
Yeah.
Whatever that turns out to be.
Yeah, no, I think I feel the same way, and who cares what I think. But I want to ask you, not necessarily if you remember, but I certainly do. After you got the conviction, it was earlier this year, and I ask you, I could just tell, and you know, you're the kind of guy that I wish I knew better, because you are just what I do know of you. You've become an awesome friend, and I wish you the best on getting reelected. You are an asset to this community. And I remember that interview when, you know, you got what you wanted, but at the end of the day, I mean, there was just the way you put it, that you get the conviction that you want, and this person's never going to see the light of day again. But it's like you can't pop the corks of the champagne bottles, because you remember those who were impacted forever. God knows those that were killed, those that were injured, those witnesses who really will never be the same people after the Club Q massacre that you and your office successfully prosecuted. I mean, I don't know. The way that you put that was so human. And in a world today where people like you sometimes come across through the media as not human, I mean, I just forever will be thankful, and I will always remember that interview where you kind of indicated, nope, I can't really be, you know, fist bumping and high fiving and going out and having a steak dinner.
Yeah, that's something that we wrestle with as prosecutors, and I know you get to work with George and talk with him about some of this stuff on occasion too.
Mm-hmm.
There was a part of me, and there was a big part of wrestling on whether we should take a plea and do what we did, where we got the max sentence. But there was a part of me that wanted to force him, the shooter, to go through living the horror that he visited on the people inside that club on November 19th. And I think there's something very human about that, to make them sort of answer to what sort of evil they brought into the community. And as a prosecutor, that was a big thing for me, was how do we make this guy taste every bit of the evil that he visited on people? And the only way that I know how to do that is to go to a trial and make him hear and listen to the evidence and listen to the devastation. But the flip side to that is, if you force a trial in a situation like that where you can get a max sentence through a plea agreement, are you really serving the victims in the most appropriate way? And that, in the end of the day, won out, that we can really help these victims get down the road of recovery quicker if we can bring this case to resolution as quickly as we possibly can, despite my personal, mm-hmm. views of wanting to just force this guy to listen to the horror that he brought in.
Yeah. As we wrap up, how do you manage re-election and still doing all the stuff you have to do, and your calendar is greatly, greatly compromised by all the things that you have to do? Is that a tough balance?
It is a tough balance, but I think the work speaks a lot for what that looks like in a re-election campaign. If I'm doing a good job, then that means in this long public interview that I have in a campaign, because that's really the way I look at it, I'm actually interviewing with every person in this community. And if they decide that I'm doing a good job based on the work I'm doing, then hopefully they'll rehire me and give me another 4 years. And if they decide that I'm not, then maybe it's a good idea for somebody else to come in. But I think I'm doing a good job. I think this office is doing a good job. We have really dedicated public servants in this office that are coming in day and night, every day of the week, working hard on behalf of this community. And I hope to be able to be a part of that going forward as well. I love doing this work.
Well, they're lucky to have you. You know, I have to, well, maybe you knew, I had to bring up the fact that I didn't know you went to Arvada West, by the way.
I did.
I did not know that. But then you decide, before you get into law, you raise your right hand and you enter the United States Navy. I'm wondering how you celebrated just a couple of weeks ago, the 248th birthday of the United States Navy. There is no wrong answer, by the way. You can say you did whatever, but I thank you for that, man. I mean, thank you for your sacrifice right out of high school, entering the Navy.
Yeah, you know, the way I celebrated that, I gave my son a call, who's actually serving in the United States Navy as we speak today, and just talked to him and thanked him for what he's doing. And, boy, I'm really just so proud of both of my kids. My oldest son's a teacher, and then my youngest is in the Navy. But that's how I celebrated that particular day, is talking with my son and reminiscing a little bit and hearing his story about what's going on in his life and his career, and just being in awe of that sacrifice that young people are making every day to serve this country.
Listen, it is, I won't say it's 100% rare, but it is pretty rare that you meet somebody in my line of work that does something like you in your line of work. And I just instantly feel this kinship and brotherhood with, and I thank you, brother, for your commitment to the community, your commitment to this country, your commitment as a father and a husband, and also for, and I know this is a love fest, but, you know, for taking the time to be in our documentary. I look forward to seeing you. You know, we're definitely going to have a premiere of this documentary film in Colorado Springs, and I want you front and center because you're a big part of it.
Well, I appreciate that, Stefan, and I feel likewise about you. I truly, to the bottom of my heart, I'm sorry that you're retiring from radio, but I know it's best for you, and I'm excited to see what happens in your future. I've been a longtime listener of yours. I love your veteran focus that you do every Sunday, and just the service that you've done for our state on a lot of different fronts is something that I think people need to recognize. And I'm going to miss you on the radio, man.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate it. District Attorney Michael Allen, as part of the farewell tour, I'm telling you, that's what this week's about. I want to have guys like, and gals, yes, of course. I want to have people like Michael Allen to where I can say thank you, because those individuals, those types of folks have made this program the best in this time slot in this state. Period. We're back to wrap up this hour on the 85th anniversary of the broadcast that scared the living bejesus out of a lot of people. War of the Worlds. We'll come back and head live back to Grover's Mill. That's next. 8 minutes away from the top of the hour. Thank you again to District Attorney Michael Allen in the 4th Judicial District. Going to be in our documentary film, Devastated. Back to Timothy B. Schmidt for a moment. You know, earlier this, I mean, just what was this summer? I'm a huge Eagles fan. We lost Randy Meisner, who was in such poor health, but could hit those notes back in the day like no one else. You know that Timothy B. Schmidt replaced Randy Meisner both in Poco and the Eagles? Happy birthday. 76 today. Timothy B. Schmidt, the bassist and vocalist for Poco and the Eagles. Coming up, actually right now. Not going to delay it. Here is a rundown of the rest of the week together. Today, as I have indicated, if you can't tell, I'm a fan. 85 years ago today, a 23-year-old Orson Welles and the Mercury Theater on CBS. Nationwide broadcast that scared the living bejesus out of not everybody, perhaps, but a lot of people.
The Columbia Broadcasting System and its affiliated stations present Orson Welles and the Mercury Theater on the air in The War of the Worlds by H.G. Wells.
Now, here's the problem. They just said the Mercury Theater presents The War of the Worlds by H.G. Wells. The problem is a lot of people at 8 o'clock Eastern time that October 30th, 1938, they just didn't hear the fact that it was, in fact, just a radio show. So over the course of the next 58 minutes, people were at least in various levels of panic. I have heard, though, there were maybe not as many people that were freaked out as the legend has had it over the decades, but you can only imagine those people in Grover's Mill, New Jersey. If they didn't, like, run under their bed or into a basement or, you know, just kiss it goodbye, those that went out, like, wait a minute, I'm in Grover's Mill and there's nothing going on. I don't see any aliens. So anyway, I say that today is the anniversary. I will just say that you will want to be with us for the 4 p.m. hour tomorrow, a very special Halloween special tomorrow in the 4 o'clock hour, Wednesday. I've shared this before. I'll say it again. I got two different texts and they were not friendly. Basically, they were, how dare you? How dare you let the veterans of this state down by retiring before November 11th? I'm just here to tell you that I planned this all along. Veterans Day on this radio program will be celebrated and commemorated this Wednesday. So day after tomorrow, we've got a World War II veteran coming into studio. We've got a couple of dear friends, Bill Miller, Vietnam veteran. In studio, we've got my friend Skip Johnson, amazing veteran and current pilot for a major United States air carrier. He's coming in, and I want you to be a part of this by celebrating the veteran in your life, even if it's you. I have given you over the years the opportunity to champion yourself. I want to say thank you and have our listeners say thank you. So our Veterans Day program will be on Wednesday. Thursday, this is going to be good. I'm going to piss off PETA, the ACLU, the SCPA, and probably a whole bunch of other alphabet soup agencies. The turkey shoot will be back. The turkey shoot. Jim, you're looking at me. You're taking part on this on Thursday. You don't even know it. We go to an undisclosed location out near Bennett, and, well, Thanksgiving is coming. This just 2 days left in October. So the Turkey Awards and the Turkey Shoot on Thursday, Friday, the final show. Finally, you tell me what kind of Halloween candy giver are you? Are you the one that gives out like the butterscotch candies and the tiny bits of honey? If so, you're known as the old timer. If you give out fortune cookies and paper clips and change, you're known as the spaz. Please don't be the spaz. If you give out bananas, boxes of raisins, apples, dental floss, you are known as the party pooper. If you give out those tiny, you know, Nestle Crunch and Skittles and Kit Kats, you're the trusty provider. Don't be cheapy McCheapface if you give out Tootsie Rolls or even the little sweeties or pieces of bubble gum. And if you give away any candy corn, you, my friend, are the psychopath. Halloween Eve. This is 710.